Our reading this morning is 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. Our subject is Lessons from Naboth's Vineyard. Lessons from Naboth's Vineyard. When we consider the adversities that we face each day and may have to face in the future, they seem pretty insignificant relative to what individuals like Naboth experienced. But we may be called upon to take such a position and give our very lives for our convictions, as did he and his sons as well. Lessons from Naboth's Vineyard. 1 Kings 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab all males, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And we know this all happened at the hands of Jehu. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Even though Elijah felt quite alone in terms of true worship, the Lord told him there were yet 7,000 individuals who refused to bow the knee to Baal, as we read in 1 Kings 19:18. In 1 Kings 21 that we just read, our attention is brought to one of those 7,000 by the name of Naboth, an individual who refused to give up his inheritance against the intentions of an avaricious king. Naboth means fruitful, and no doubt his service to Yahweh was characterized by striving to manifest spiritual fruits. Later, these fruits were categorized and cited by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5. We too should be working diligently to develop these fruits in our service to Yahweh: love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Proverbs 11:30 tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And in Proverbs 12:12 we read, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The account of Naboth's vineyard reveals some very important points which are always true. First, that God is sovereign, all-powerful, and infinitely holy, and that he hates sin. As we read in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And second, we learn and know that wicked man is willful and deserving of God's wrath, as related in Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence or desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Ahab, as king of Israel, was wealthy, but even so, all his possessions failed to satisfy him, which is so typical of natural man, a man of the flesh. We find in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Ahab greatly coveted the vineyard which belonged to faithful Naboth. The property, we know, was in the eastern Jezreel Valley. And interestingly, Jezreel means God will sow. God will sow. And we see this in the life of Naboth. It was in northern Israel, very close to Ahab's palace, and no doubt in the regular eyeshot of the king. Ahab offered to exchange or buy it, but to his surprise and anger, Naboth refused. So what did Ahab do? Well, we learn in verse 4, and what an interesting picture this is. A king sulking and pouting, acting like a spoiled child. He laid down in his bed, turned his face away, would not eat. And of course, this readily came to the attention of Jezebel, as we'll discuss. Covetousness is a dreadful sin, and believers are not exempt from it. Consider these scriptures, and many of these relate to the Mosaic law, but we know it's just as true relative to the law of Christ. Exodus 20 and verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Deuteronomy 5:21, it's again reiterated. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Micah 2, verses 1 and 2. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and they take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man and his heritage. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Let's read again 1 Kings 21 and verse 2. Ahab spake to Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. On the face of it, humanly speaking, the offer appears to be a generous one. Naboth would do very well as a result of the transaction. He would either have money or a vineyard that was better than his. However, spiritually speaking, Ahab, even though he was the king, was, as we discussed, wrong in coveting the property of his neighbor. We are told that the reason he wanted the vineyard was to plant a garden of herbs. Some translations render it a vegetable garden. You know, as I considered this, I thought about Cain and him bringing of the fruit of the ground, which was in and of itself not acceptable without the blood sacrifice. And here we have Ahab, who is going to produce of the fruit of the ground, or have his servants do so. Whereas Naboth had a vineyard, the fruit of the vine, the word of God. Ahab offered Naboth a better vineyard than the one he had inherited, which again suggests there was a specific reason why Ahab wanted this particular plot. But it was better in whose eyes? The world at large seeks to offer us something better than what we have in Christ. But what can be better than what God considers to be right and wise for us to have? The world offers us freedom from the constraints of the truth, that is true. Provides opportunities to please ourselves, to seek our own benefits, often at the expense of others. But in reality, such are the servants of sin, and they shall reap corruption as a consequence. Scripture enables us to lift up our sight to better things. And speaking of the faithful of old, in Hebrews 11, 15, and 16, we read their thinking and words. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11, 15, and 16. Naboth was promised a better vineyard, but he, like the worthies of old, rather looked to a better city that was to come, a city which was based on heavenly principles, when the will of God will be executed upon this earth as it is in heaven. Ahab's desire for Naboth's vineyard fulfills Samuel's expectations concerning the dealings of a human king over the people of God. We read in 1 Samuel 8:14, he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. When the people rejected Yahweh as king and desired a human ruler, Samuel warned them of what a king would be like. Governed by self-interest, self-motivation, a human ruler can be more concerned about his own standing than the welfare and the goodwill of his people, as seen by the failings of a multitude of kings who ruled over Israel. Certainly, Ahab, being led away by his wife Jezebel, was a man who wanted to have his own way. And he became greatly upset when he could not have it. When Ahab asked for the vineyard, Naboth was quite clear. The Lord forbid it me. Was this an unreasonable answer? Certainly not. The vineyard, part of Naboth's inherited property, had been the possession of his ancestors for many, many generations. So how could he part with it? However, it was not simply a matter of being sentimental about this piece of property. In Leviticus 25, 23, the Lord instructs the children of Israel, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And also in Numbers 36, 7, so shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. God had expressly forbidden the sale of this property. And therefore, when Ahab made his request, Naboth said, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. How can I do this thing when God has forbidden it? Naboth refused to disobey God. And how significant is this? Consider other faithful who would not acquiesce to such temptations, even to the ruler of the land at that time. We read in Hebrews 11, verses 24 to 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. When we're faced with what might be appealing choices, or that which we desire or even seek to avoid, do we readily consider whether the Lord forbids it? Naboth had the courage of his convictions, and he stood up for God, for truth, for righteousness. Indeed, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Psalm 37:32. Ahab's wife Jezebel had already distinguished herself by being an avid opposer of God's truth. In 1 Kings 18, verses 4 and 13, we have described how she cut off and killed the true prophets of Yahweh. In 1 Kings 19, we have the record of her opposition and her threat to kill Elijah. And it was under her guidance that idol worship became, in essence, the state religion of Israel. She was preeminently a woman of the flesh. That woman, Jezebel, we read of in Revelation 2, verses 20 through 23. It's used here in the apocalypse as a figure of the great apostasy that will ultimately be destroyed by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That woman devised a means by which Ahab could have his plot of land and do with it as he pleased. She took the helm and wrote letters in Ahab's name, saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, and to say that thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. This is verses 9 and 10, 1 Kings 21. This thing was not to be done behind the scenes. Naboth was to be lifted up before the eyes of all the people, humiliated, and two false witnesses would indict him before them all. Again, the claim was that he had spoken against God and the king. We know that nothing could be further from the truth, but rather blaspheming God, not blaspheming God, but rather he actually remained faithful to Yahweh's commandments, even to his death. Jezebel, herself a blasphemer of Israel's God, and one who had no regard for the truth, was determined to condemn the guiltless in order to take possession of the vineyard. The charge against Naboth is similar to the accusation that was made against individuals like Stephen. Like Jezebel, we're told in Acts 6, verse 11, that they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Moreover, in addition, they set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. In both cases, the principal charge was that faithful men were actually blasphemers. A passage from the prophets comes to mind in this context, Isaiah 66 and verse 5. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let Yahweh be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. For Jezebel, the great idolater, it was the utmost hypocrisy to condemn Naboth as being a blasphemer of Israel's God. Similarly, those who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ had no good cause to claim Stephen had spoken against God, but were condemned by the words of false witnesses and were put to death by stoning by the people. It's interesting to note that Jezebel, despite her wicked idolatry, knew something about the Mosaic Law. In Deuteronomy 19:15, we read, one witness shall not rise up against a man for an iniquity or for any sin, and any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So Jezebel is quite shrewd, and we can see from start to finish her evil intent. So it was that Jezebel raised up two witnesses to testify against Naboth. But it was not Naboth alone who was killed. Ordinarily, upon his death, his children would, of course, inherit his property and everything that related to him. Indeed, that is how Naboth had possession of the vineyard. It was the inheritance of his fathers. Jezebel had to put his sons to death in order to remove any claims of inheritance upon the death of Naboth. This is related later on in Scripture in the words of the Lord in 2 Kings 9 in verse 26. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith Yahweh, and I will requite thee in his plot, saith Yahweh. So nothing would stop Jezebel from achieving her objective of getting the vineyard for Ahab. In various ways, the slaying of Naboth in order to take his inheritance is very typical or is a parallel to the slaying of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. We read that those who were incited against Naboth were his own kinsmen, the elders and the nobles that were in the city with him, dwelling with Naboth, as we read in verse 8 of 1 Kings 21. They rose up against him, and they had him killed. Even so it is written regarding our Messiah. One shall say to him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Zechariah 13:6. Just as the charge against Naboth was blasphemy against God and the king, so Jesus was accused likewise. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. John 19:12. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Matthew 27:65. And verse 60 in that chapter 27 tells us that there were two false witnesses that spoke against him, just like with Naboth. Matthew chapter 21 recounts the parable of the vineyard as taught by our Lord. And we've alluded to this parable on many occasions. The parable narrates how the owner of a vineyard let it out to husbandmen, who were to bring forth the fruits thereof in due course. When the owner sent his servants to collect the fruit, they abused them, they beat them, they stoned them. Then he sent his son, thinking, certainly they will respect my son. And last of all, they sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance, just as Ahab had seized on the inheritance of Naboth. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard, and they slew him, as we read in Matthew 21:37-39. Just like Naboth, the son was slain in order that others could possess his inheritance. But notice also what the owner's response was to this. He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. And the interpretation of it was given thusly. The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Matthew 21:41-43. Here is the irony. Those who oppressed others to take their inheritance will themselves have it taken from them and given to another. Though Jezebel and Ahab secured the death of Naboth, we know that he will be amongst that nation to whom the kingdom will be given, rendering the fruit in due time. Indeed, this again is implied by Naboth's name, which, as we said, means fruitful. By contrast to Ahab and Jezebel, who bore no fruit to the landowner, even Yahweh himself, they were but tenants in the land, called upon to serve the landowner who placed them there. Yet they abused his prophets and slew his messengers who came to collect the fruits. In considering Naboth, therefore, we have a man who is typical, foreshadowing our Lord Jesus Christ, being falsely accused by two false witnesses. Both Naboth and our Lord were condemned by the nation and their own people, but both refused to part with their inheritance. And the message clearly to us is to hold fast to that inheritance that Yahweh has given us as servants of the deity, as the brethren of Christ. And if we do so, we are to be raised to glory at the appointed time. Our part, therefore, is to labor in the vineyard while time remains, that we might bring forth the fruits thereof, to be admitted into that better inheritance when our Master comes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.